I'm going to go to Isaiah, the prophecy of our Savior. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, it says, "Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all are like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own ways. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, but he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter. As a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. And he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in him. Yet the Lord's will was to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, we will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after he suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied." The question we're going to look at today, as we explore these verses, why was Jesus called the Lamb of God? Why did God choose that animal to represent Jesus, to represent what he would mean to us? That is what we will explore today. One day, when John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching, he said to his followers, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." These words are recorded so that you can read them for yourself in the book of John chapter 1, verse 29. Today, I want us to be thinking, why was Jesus the Lamb of God? I mean, lambs are nice and all that, but they're not particularly imposing. They're innocent, gentle, friendly, and vulnerable. By contrast, bulls, now that's a symbol worthy of God. They're big. They're powerful. They're dangerous. You don't mess with bulls, just like you don't mess with God. Over the centuries, various cultures have worshipped gods that they've symbolized as bulls. The Egyptians worshipped Apis and Orias, and then the Canaanites Baal and Marduk, and there were other Hindus and Greeks and Romans and other nations and other cultures all had gods who looked like bulls. It seemed everybody who lived in those days saw bulls as worthy of being their god. Everybody except our Heavenly Father. The Israelites were surrounded by nations who symbolized their gods as bulls. But in the Bible, God never portrayed himself as a bull or an ox. Instead, Jesus was presented to us as the Lamb of God. as portrayed in Isaiah chapter 53, the Lamb of God was not something that would impress us. He had no form of majesty or majesty. Let's just be really honest. That we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and as one from men would hide their faces. We esteemed him not. That's Isaiah 53, 2 and 3. Then in verse 7 we're told, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was being led to slaughter, like a sheep that was before the shearers was silent, he opened not his mouth. That's Isaiah 53:7. Now we should understand that this symbolism of the land began centuries before in the land of Egypt. The people of Israel had been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then God sent Moses to free them. And on the night before they were freed from Egypt, God declared, "I to tell the congregation that they are freed from Egypt, that on the 10th day of every month, the man shall take a lamb according to the father's houses and the lamb for the household. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamb at twilight. Then they shall take the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on a fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. On all the gods of Egypt I will have judgment, and I am the Lord. And this blood shall be a sign to you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you or destroy you. Then I will, when I strike the land of Egypt. Now that is Exodus chapter 12, 3 through 13, and you can read it for yourself. You know the story. The lamb had to be sacrificed at twilight, and his blood was to be painted on the doorposts and lintels of the home. How many of you knew the lintel was the top bar of the home? Not everybody does. I remember when I first learned that, I was excited. The blood of the lamb protected them from the judgment of Egypt. Then in the Gospels we read, at the last meal, Jesus took his disciples, and they were celebrating the Passover. And during the meal, Jesus took the bread that he'd given thanks, and he broke it, and he said to them, "This is my body." which is given for you. And do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup taken, and he said, this is the cup is poured out for you, the new covenant in my blood. And that's found Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. Just as the Passover lamb's blood saved the Israelites from the slavery and death, so the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, saves us from slavery to sin and fear of death. That's one of the main reasons Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Now, it brings me back to my original question. Why wasn't Jesus the bull of God? I mean, the Israelites did sacrifice bulls to God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 12, for example, we are told that Jesus entered into the heavenly holies of holies. Not with the blood of bulls and goats like in the days of temple worship, but with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So what's all this makeup about a lamb? A gentle, innocent, vulnerable, as opposed to bulls, which are big, powerful, and dangerous. Now, a couple reasons come to mind. And the first is, when it comes to sacrifice, lambs tend not to struggle. Like a lamb to the slaughter, like a sheep before the shears is silent, he opened his mouth not before. And that's Isaiah 53:7. Have you heard this phrase ever in your life, gentle as a lamb? Nobody? They used to say it out on the coast. I guess it never was a Midwestern type thing. Gentle as a lamb. Apparently, that's true of lambs being offered in sacrifice. They're literally gentle. But you don't say that about a bull. Now, when I was in high school, I worked for West Coast Meat, based in Tacoma, Washington, and they've been bought and sold several times since I worked there, and I really don't know what their current name is, but they're right down on the waterfront, and they're a massive operation, and they serve both domestic and foreign supplies of meat. Their slaughterhouse, their slaughter line is huge. And one day, they would process pigs. And the next day, they would process sheep. And then for 3 days, they'd do cattle. And one day, in the section of the plant where they had the live cattle, where they were kept before they went into the line, one of the bulls got loose. Somebody had left the gate unlatched to his pen. And now he's out in the alleyway between the pens, and he's not happy. He tore everything up that was not cemented down, from the dirt to the hay. Everything wasn't cemented down the aisle, went flying in the air. He was flinging stuff into the pens where the other animals were stored, getting them all excited. He may not have understood that he was there to be slaughtered, but he was pretty sure he didn't want to be there, and now he was one dangerous animal. Can you picture it in your mind? Okay, now you've got narrow pins. There was an older man there, older than most. He might have been all of 30, right? But he was an old man, at the time. And there were two other younger workers, and they'd scurried up the corners of the wall, the ladders, and they were up at the very high reaches where the bull couldn't hit him except hit the wall. But he was kind of pinned in this corner in the alleyway. And he wasn't as young and agile as the other ones. And he was looking around for something to use against the bull. And he saw a nearby water hose. Now, we're not talking about some house water hose. We're talking about ones they use to clean the lane, right? And if I remember right, it was about 2 inches round. under high pressure, right? Oh, it had power. He picked it up and turned it on right in the bull's face. The bull shook its head, but it didn't like the water inside, so it started backing up. And he backed them all the way into that pen with that water hose just blaring off that bull's face. The older man kept pouring on the water and walked them all the way back. Now, my point is, bulls are not gentle when it comes to being slaughtered. They can become very dangerous and feel threatened. But lambs are different. I read of a man who worked in a meat packing firm back east. And for years and years, he had butchered cattle and pigs and chickens. He never did, and even turkeys. Oh, yeah, he didn't like turkeys, but he did them. Then one day they brought in some sheep to be slaughtered. The butcher had never killed. He was a young man, never killed a lamb before. For him, it was just another animal, so it was part of the jobs. So the man took a sharp knife, cut the lamb's throat, and the lamb didn't behave like the other animals. It didn't struggle, or it didn't squeal, or bellow like cows and pigs. Instead, the lamb just stood there, silent in front of him. And as the blood flowed from his throat, the lamb stumbled down towards its executioner and licked the blood from the man's hands and began to weave side to side. And then slumped and quietly died. And for the remainder of the day, the butcher could not shake that scene from his mind. It bothered him so much that he could hardly sleep for the next few nights. He sat there and struggled and struggled and struggled with this thought of what this animal did. It bothered him so much that after about a month of this trouble, he went to the supervisor and says, "I quit. It was the death of the lamb was more than I can bear." It was almost as if the lamb had willingly allowed itself to die. And that's the image God wants you to have about Jesus. Isaiah 53:7 prophesied that he was like a lamb led to slaughter, like a sheep before the shearers, and is silent and did not open his mouth. Jesus willingly chose to die for your sins. Jesus gave his life for you as a price for sin because you matter that much to him. Now all that ties in with the next reason that Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Lambs are not animals that you would think about being powerful. They're gentle, they're vulnerable, they're innocent. In many ancient cultures, folks worshiped bulls because they were powerful. Ancient cultures had a pantheon of gods, and they served. And each god they worshiped had a particular function. There were gods who controlled the sun, the moon, the stars, the seas, the mountains, the crops, the rain, and so on and so on and so on. And these pagan nations worshiped a god. And let's say agriculture, they would pray to him and offer sacrifices to him. And what did they want this god to do? They wanted good crops, abundant crops. And when they worshiped a god of rain, they wanted it to rain. And when they needed it, and not so much rain that would hurt the crops, and they prayed to God to symbolize power, they would pray and sacrifice something made that god. They wanted power, authority. And they prayed for that. It's hard to imagine any of them praying to the Lamb of God and think about receiving power. Do you know what I'm talking about? They all prayed to big, powerful things, and they, a little lamb, little itty-bitty lamb. Power is not what lambs are about. Now, a bull you could easily symbolize as powerful, but God didn't choose a bull to represent himself. because God wanted us to be not to be driven by a desire of power. God didn't want us to be power brokers in the earthly sense. He wanted us to be humble servants. The focus of the cross was that Jesus became our servant. Jesus chose to set his power aside so he could become our Savior. He did that when he died on the cross for you and me. The book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 25 and 28, Jesus told his disciples, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and that the great ones exercise authority over them. But shall not be with you, or among you, depending on how you do it. But whoever would be great must become your servant. And whoever would be first must become your slave." How will we know what kind of servants? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He gave his life as a ransom. Jesus is our example on how to be servants rather than be power brokers. That's why in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8, it tells, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count the equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." I'm going to start to close with the story about a shepherd, about sheep. I read a long time ago that if a female sheep dies, called a ewe, dies while giving birth to a lamb, the newborn lamb has a problem. You can't give that orphan lamb to just any ewe. Every lamb has their own scent. And every ewe recognizes her lamb by its scent. So if a lamb doesn't have the right smell, the ewe will reject the lamb and the lamb's going to die. So what can you do? How do you save a hungry orphaned lamb? Well, for centuries, shepherds have taken the skin of a lamb that died, a baby lamb that was died in birth, right, and wrapped it around the motherless lamb like a sewer. Some have sewed it on, and they clothe the lamb, and they would present to the mother the dead lamb's skin on another lamb that needed to be raised. And the ewe would smell the wool of her own child, and she'd recognize the scent. And then she would accept that lamb as her own. Miraculous thing. And the Bible teaches us that our sins make us so that we don't smell right to God. In the book of Habakkuk, we made it to Habakkuk even from a sermon quote. How many people make it to Habakkuk, right? Habakkuk. God tells us that God's eyes are too pure to even look on evil. Our sin separates us from God. We're told that in Isaiah 59, 1 through 2. It separates us from his love. But God loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten son, his sinless lamb, so that when we believed in him, we might not perish. Jesus died for us. so that we could wrap ourselves in His righteousness. The book of Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 and 27 tells us that when we're baptized into Christ, we become clothed with Christ. We put on Jesus so we can be accepted by God as a newborn child. You ever thought of that? You're just like a baby ewe, baby lamb. I recently listened to one of Warren Wiersbe's old sermons. If you don't know Warren Wiersbe, he's a great man. You should study some of his great works. And he was on the internet explaining why people believe that they're Christians because of what they do. See, they attend church. They live by the golden rule. They try to keep the Ten Commandments. They try to be nice. But true Christians will do all those things anyhow. But that's not why they're Christian. It is not about what we do. It is about who we belong to. Now, you've been looking at a picture of a lion and a lamb during this whole sermon. There's a distinction here I want to talk to you about. To us, Jesus is the Lamb of God. When you read about talking with Him, talking with us, dealing with us, He is our Lamb. But the Bible does not say He's just a lamb. In the book of Revelations, He is also the Lion of Judah. To us, He is the Lamb of God. To us, He is the one who paid for our salvation. But to the unsaved world, He is the Lion of Judah. In the throne of heaven, it talks about the lion. And the lion's mentioned here many places. I can read lion, lion, lion as I read through. But every time in the book of Revelation that it refers to Jesus for us, it refers to the Lamb. But when it refers to Jesus dealing with the world, it's the Lion. See, our Savior came riding on the donkey, which was a sign of peace back then. You read in the book of Revelation, when He comes again, He's riding on a war horse. See, to us, He's kind, He's gentle, He's sweet, He's lovable, He's everything. We can sit in a room and just be in awe. But to the world, He's fire and brimstone, and they can't even stand to even hear His name. Because for us, He's the Lamb. For the world, He's the Lion. Today, we celebrated in the Supper of the Lamb. Now you're going to go downstairs and have another supper. How many of you have been distracted today during church? The smells going down. I can smell something down there cooking. You know, there's a bunch of ladies that didn't get to come to church because they were downstairs working. So when you see them, smile at them. Right? Distractions really mess up the world, don't they? Satan loves to give you distractions. Our job is to concentrate on the Lamb and let the distractions of the world pass us by. That's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? In the book of Revelation, we see both the Lamb and the Lion. And woe be to the earth who has to deal with the lion, because he's coming back in power. And all that we have had to put up with, he's going to take care of. But for us, he's the lamb. Changes this perspective, don't it? Lambs are kind of cute. I grant you, rams are kind of a pain. Once in a while, if you've ever been hit by a ram, some of you might have. West Coast meet, I got knocked flat on my keister by a ram once. Oh, hurt. But I wasn't in the aisle with the bull. I was much smarter than that. Let's close in a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne to eliminate all the distractions of life, and we just lay them at Your feet. Father, this world is trying to pull us away from just spending time with you. We come before your throne to humbly thank you for the blessings of your Son. We also, Father, ask that you bless the food that we are about to partake downstairs to our bodies. We thank you for the ones who made it, and we thank you for the ones who'll feed. Guide us and direct us, because we belong to you. And all God's people said, amen.